A warm welcome to this talk. Now, probably the most definitive paper yet published on the adverse reactions from the mRNA vaccines has just come out. It's in the International Journal of Cardiovascular Research and Innovation, and it's open access, and I'll be showing you how to access it in a minute. But let's just start with a quiz. Now, here we have the all adverse events reported filed under the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System in the United States from 1990 through to 2024. So the quiz is, guess what year was 2021, the year of the vaccine rollout? Well, I don't think you'll be too surprised that it's the first big red column. 2021, vaccine rollout year. Now, it's true that there were more vaccines given during that time, but the amount of adverse events reported is massively disproportionate, as we'll see in a minute. So that's the first part of the quiz. This is the second part. Now, these are deaths reported under the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System domestic data. All death adverse events reported. And I'm not going to make light of this. 2021, again, is the obvious year there, the year of the vaccine rollout. And we see that the deaths were over 10,500 in that time period, which is completely unacceptable. Now, I'm just going to give you the conclusion of this paper before we look at it. Or maybe just look at the paper first. Here's the paper itself. So this is the paper here. Now, it's an incredibly thorough piece of work. This is a very impressive piece of academia. They've tied everything together. I was really quite taken aback when I read this paper, the quality of it. So here is the study here, myocarditis after SARS coronavirus 2 infection and COVID-19 vaccination, epidemiology outcomes and new perspectives. Now, it's just incredibly thorough piece of work. I'm not going to sort of scroll through it all, but if we just look down, it covers amazing amount of detail, ties together all the literature pretty well. So it runs to, page 1 to 43. And the amount of referencing and scholarship in here is really quite impressive. The amount of work that's been done on this to get this compilation. We're down to what? Good grief, how many references are there? 341 references. Really is quite an impressive piece of work. And the conclusion. We urge governments to remove the COVID-19 mRNA products from the market. Pretty clear. Due to the well-documented risk of myocardial damage, a risk that is strongest for young males in the under 40 years of age. Now, in a minute, we're going to be hearing from Independent Medical Alliance Senior Fellow of Paediatrics and Cardiology, Dr. Kurt Milhome. So let's just listen to the introduction from Fox News. This is the introduction under this reference here. This only lasts for a few seconds, and it just gives us some useful context that's very nicely expressed.
A groundbreaking new study sounding alarms about the safety of COVID mRNA vaccines, directly challenging claims from public health officials and raising urgent questions about transparency and trust. So using hard data from disease trends, from patient outcomes and immune system analysis, multiple research reports show that heart inflammation risks tied to the vaccines may be far greater and maybe even more dangerous than previously reported, particularly among young men.
Well, more from that report in a minute, and we'll listen to the segment from Dr. Kurt Milhome as well. But just so you know, we're not making this up, as always. This is the journal here. This is the full reference. PDF is available. Myocarditis typically manifesting as myopericarditis, so the heart muscle and the layers around the heart are typically inflamed. Itis simply means inflammation of. Is among the serious cardiac consequences observed over the course of the COVID-19 pandemic. And here we have a comprehensive evidence-based literature synthesis. So they've actually synthesized this together. It's a very, very nice piece of work, as I said. Clinical trial data reanalysis, post-marketing surveillance, large observational studies, epidemiological, clinical and immunological perspectives. Now, I'm just going to show you some of the data. We'll probably do this paper in a little more detail in subsequent videos, but let's just look at some of the important data that's come out from it now. This first one we see here, this is the adverse events types reported. So this is not adverse events, it's the different types, the different manifestations of adverse events. And we see it six times, the types of adverse events are 6.2 times higher. So six times more than we would expect. Now, to be fair, there were, it was times 2.3 more vaccines were given during this time period, but we've got 6.2 times more types of adverse reactions. So what this is telling me is that the mRNA vaccines are having adverse effects on more systems of the body than conventional vaccines. And here we see that here. So here we see the influenza vaccine in purple and the COVID vaccines in red, and the more types of adverse reactions are occurring in the mRNA vaccines. And just to be clear, it's the mRNA vaccines that we want taken off the market. I don't think mRNA vaccines should be currently being given to human beings, or anyone for that matter, at the moment, until we know an awful lot more. So that's the types of reactions. This is the actual adverse events reporting system, influenza and COVID in VAERS. This is the number of reactions, the number of adverse events. And we see it's times 118. Now, as we mentioned, there was 2.3 times more vaccines being given. So that number, being generous, should be 2.3, not 118. So way more adverse reactions. Totally unacceptable numbers of adverse reactions, in my view. Why the regulators tolerate this is really quite beyond me, and I know beyond a lot of you. But that's the actual number of adverse events reported. Now, this, put together by Dr. Jessica Rose, she's done an awful lot of brilliant, Jessica Rose has done some brilliant statistical work and scientific work on this topic, and continues to be a real spokesperson, a spokeswoman for the ordinary man and woman who don't have the skills that she has. And that most certainly includes me. But here we see the age groups. So number of adverse events here. For example, we see in 0 to 4s there, 3,263. The idea that you'd be giving experimental RNA vaccines to children 6 months to 4 years of age, I just find it reckless, appalling. But there we are. And then 5 to 11s, a bit low in these age groups, but still an awful lot. And then the number of adverse reactions start to increase. And these are normalized per million doses in the different age groups. So a nice piece of work from Jessica there. Now, here we start to look at the pathology. And really, we've known this for some time, that the vaccine is injected. The lipid nanoparticles go all around the body. They circulate to the heart. The lipid nanoparticles inject their mRNA into the myocardial cells, the myocytes. The myocytes express this foreign protein. The immune system recognizes this foreign protein and attacks the whole cell. It's so simple. We've had this confirmed by numerous leading doctors and scientists we've talked to. And here they say that they're perfusion stable spike protein. So the myocardial cells, under the instructions, some might say under the dictate of the mRNA, produces the spike protein, and it doesn't wash away. It sticks to the surface of the myocyte, the myocardial cell membrane. And that's why the immune system can attack the whole thing, because it's stuck on the cell membrane. And of course, that's what causes the damage to the heart, the inflammation. And we also see in this pathology slide copy, we see fibrotic tissue, which would indicate some degree of healing. And we also see inflammatory immune cells attracted to the site of the inflammation. So confirmation from numerous types of literature of what we've already had confirmed on this channel. The lipid nanoparticles are systemically distributed and cause the spike protein to be produced all over the body. And yet these are still tolerated by regulators. Now, this one here, young males are the highest risk. So age and sex, young males 12 to 24 face the highest risk, up to 7 times higher myocarditis incidence post-Moderna vaccine compared to their female counterparts. So young men at extremely high risk. Could be more information to come out from the American military yet, although that is somewhat covered in the paper. Hormonal influence, possibly testosterone, may amplify the immune response, increasing myocardial inflammation. Obviously, young men have the highest amounts of testosterone, as you could judge from their behaviour sometimes. But let's not make light of this because it's a serious issue. Dose and timing. Risk spikes after the second dose, with higher rates linked to shorter dosing intervals. Don't want these things close together. Probably doesn't actually say this, but probably worse if there's been the natural infection as well, which of course was everywhere at the time. Moderna versus Pfizer. So Moderna has up to 3 to 5 times higher myocardial risk compared to the Pfizer vaccine, likely due to its higher RNA concentration. Now, I'd say the adverse reactions from the Pfizer are unacceptably high, but Moderna 3 to 5 times higher. Why on earth they wanted to put so much mRNA in the Moderna vaccine, I simply don't know. But of course, regardless of the amount of mRNA that you give, still the amount of spike protein that the body produces and where the body produces that spike protein is completely unpredictable. It's roll the dice and take your chances, isn't it? Also, genetic and immune factors. Certain genetic markers and immune dysregulation may contribute to increased susceptibility, as really you would have expected. That's usually the case. Now, this is quite concerning. Of those that got myocarditis, myopericarditis, 84 to 96% of Moderna RNA myocarditis cases required hospitalisation. 50% showed long-term myocardial abnormalities. Now, this is particularly concerning, the reports of scarring in the myocardium. Basically, as I understand the pathology, once the myocardial muscle is dead and it's scarred, the muscle is never going to recover. We're talking about permanent myocardial damage in a proportion of these adverse events. And 10 to 20% fatality rate, quite appalling figures. Now, what this paper really usefully does is it, I don't like the term debunks, but it basically debunks quite a few myths that have been put about by certain people who knows, may have a vested interest. Let's look at those now. Misconception one, infection causes more myocarditis. The fact, Moderna mRNA shots pose higher risk. So they're saying here that the Moderna shots have got a higher risk of myopericarditis compared to having the infection, especially in the younger, less at risk age groups whom this vaccine was forced upon, essentially, in many cases. Oh, that I had more of this data and the information was freely available and dispersed in 2021. At that time, we were still, let me rephrase that, I was still taking the word of authority. I feel deceived. It won't happen again. Misconception two, Moderna mRNA-related myocarditis is mild. It's not mild. It can be mild, but fact, long-term damage and death clearly documented. How much problems are still to become manifest? And of course, we could be talking about other complications, potential cancers. This is just, we'll stick to what this paper actually says. Risk-benefit ratio favours Moderna RNA shots. Fact, strong evidence contradicts this claim, which I would agree with. Now, just a couple more graphics. This is deaths related to baseline major cardiovascular diseases, and we see the numbers go up. Some extent in 2020, but also in to a higher degree in 2021, above the baseline. I'm pretty sure that was from the insurer's data. I think pretty sure that's from the insurer's data. Do download this for yourself. Free PDF. Quite readable, actually. Very thorough. And this is VIRS reports of myocarditis by age and dose. So here we see the doses, and you can unpick that a bit if you look at it in the PDF. But again, we see highest incidence in what? Late teenagers, young adults, very young, basically young adults, going down with increasing age. So, myths debunked. Phenomenon of myocarditis post SARS coronavirus 2 injection versus COVID-19 vaccine-induced myocarditis. This is pointing out, because what we were always told was the natural infection is more dangerous. This is what this is countermanding. So one, severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus 2, and Omicron infections have caused more cases of myocarditis than COVID-19 mRNA vaccinations. Refuted. mRNA vaccine-induced myocarditis is typically mild, transient, and rare, with no long-term sequelae. Refuted. The risk-benefit calculus favours continued use of products despite evidence of more iatrogenic, that's vaccine-caused, cases. Refuted. Now, let's listen to the rest of the interview with Dr. Kurt Milhome, Senior Fellow of Pediatric Cardiologist.
Joining us now to discuss this is Independent Medical Alliance Senior Fellow of Pediatric Cardiology, Dr. Kirk Milhome. Good morning to you, Doctor. Welcome to the National News Desk. Great to have you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
This new study about the safety of COVID mRNA vaccines was published in the International Journal of Cardiovascular Research and Innovation, as I understand it. Tell us about the scope of this research and really your top findings from it.
So it's a compilation of studies that really have been out there since 2021. We saw a signal in the vaccine product causing problems, especially in the young adults, especially young males, that was causing heart inflammation. And so what we have done is compiled all those different peer-reviewed journals, articles, and data, and put them in one place, easily accessible, with 42 pages and 341 references of our concerns that this is a real issue and these vaccines do little good for healthy children and young adults.
Right. Were you able to distinguish the cause of myocarditis, the differential between a COVID infection versus it being just an adverse reaction to the COVID vaccine?
Yes, it's very clear from a number of reasons that we've been able to evaluate. And primarily, there was a great study out of the Nordic countries that studied 23 million children and young adults, and they found that the people who had the least amount of myocarditis were the unvaccinated. And as you increase the number of vaccine doses, or you use Moderna versus Pfizer, your risk just kept stepping up in terms of your risk for myocarditis. Once again, in a disease state that is really very mild for healthy children and young adults.
You know, initially, this topic was so rare when we first heard about this, myocarditis and the links, you know, to the vaccine. But what does the data reveal now?
So there was a study out of Lancet that showed and looked at all these children who had been harmed by the vaccine and received and had myocarditis secondary to the vaccine. And they looked at them 90 days out. And a lot of things remained normal, except their cardiac MRI, which showed and continued inflammation and possible scarring of the heart itself 90 days out. Further studies, a new study released by Yale said that they're still seeing free-floating spike protein, which is what that vaccine asked the body to make, which is a cardiotoxin still floating around in the body for over 700 days.
Wow.
It was supposed to just be put in and your body made an immune response and then it went away. But it is hanging around in some people.
So it's not transitory. It's not resolving over time. I mean, there's like long-term impacts we're seeing right now.
Yeah, for certain people, it is devastating and long-term issues for a disease process that they have very little risk for.
Wow. So for more information, you can visit imahealth.org. And doctor, we appreciate you joining us this morning to talk about this very important topic.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, I don't think there's really any need to say more than that. Dr. Milholm's expressed that really quite well. The link for the paper is there. Download it for yourself. Very readable, nice piece of work. This is now in the public domain. Anyone can get it. And if regulators carry on ignoring this, I will be confused. Thank you for watching.